let him off the chain. The chain keeps him from hurting anyone. You let him off, he tears at everyone's neck. So it is with a man with a sinful heart who's constrained by society or a group or by some other means to be righteous. You know, it's not coming from the heart, and therefore it's not real. Verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Apostles meaning sent forth, apostello, sent out. It's used of ambassadors, divine representatives of God's kingdom is what they would be. He chose 12. And before this, he'd approached this with prayer. Now, I don't know to what degree, you know, the Lord had certain knowledge of people's thoughts at times. It's like, was he always walking around aware of everyone's thoughts and of everything that would happen? We know that from things he said himself, that God hid some things from the eyes of him while he was in the world. You know, because otherwise he wouldn't have really experienced the world as a man. And when he was choosing his disciples, perhaps he knew what God was guiding him to do, and he knew that he was doing God's will. But now as he's about to appoint them 12 and send them out, he approaches the Father again in prayer. And you see in this a hint again at the nature of God. The Son of God, proceeding forth and coming out of God, yet being equal to God, and yet having, as it says in the book of Hebrews, neither beginning of days nor end of years, without father, without mother, one like unto the Son of God, no earthly father. But God is father to him. And that's why I like the analogy that the Apostle John draws of Jesus being the Word of God. Because the Word comes out of God, and it's a creation of God. Yet, it has no beginning. Because when did God start speaking? I can trace the time I started speaking back to some time between my birth and my first year. I began to speak. When did God begin to speak, an eternal being? So you see that the Word of God is eternal with God. And though it comes out of him, and God's Word is so powerful that it actually becomes this distinct person, and he considers it my Son. He is the image of the invisible God. You know, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, because God is invisible. You can't see the Father. The only way you can see the Father is by looking at the Son. That's God. There's the Father. That's what you see. It doesn't mean they're one and the same person. It's an indication of their oneness and that the Father is invisible. The Father can't be seen. No man hath seen God at any time. Anything that men have ever seen of God would be summarized under the Son of God. The visible. He's God made visible. God made flesh. God made word. God communicating. God's communication and his... It is so powerful. It is another person, the Son of God. You know, I mean, I hesitate to quantify it. You know, they say one substance, similar substance. I think that is a snare. I just like to observe the things that happen. And you can see from what you observe and what's written in the scripture that there's this oneness and there's this distinctness. And that is sufficient. Just understand that. About God, that they are one and distinct. And also other things you can learn by reading from the scriptures. But we don't need to resort to councils and such things and pronouncements people make into simplified, oversimplified explanations that do not contain God. Well, anyways, don't want to get too far off the track. The calling of the apostles. Simon, verse 14, whom also he named Peter, a rock, and Andrew, that's what Peter means, a rock, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zealot, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. That word virtue, I believe, is power. Yeah. Dunamis, power. There was power that went forth out of him to heal. This reminds me back in the previous chapter, chapter 5, verse 17, when it says, and I skipped over this last time, so I want to mention it here, that when the Pharisees came down from Jerusalem and Galilee and Judea, there was power of God there present to heal. It was present. The power of God is present to heal. And this speaks to something I speak about from time to time, about the conditional nature of some of the things that Christ offers concerning the coming of the kingdom and the promise of deliverance for the nation of Israel and for the healing of the scribes and Pharisees. The power of God is there to deliver them if they would receive him, if they would believe on him. That doesn't mean from God's perspective that he doesn't already know. It doesn't mean that from God's perspective he hasn't already ordained what their response will be. It doesn't mean that at all. But the conditions exist for man to observe the choice and then to make the choice. And we don't have God's perspective. We don't know where this is going. He knows where it's going. But don't let that confuse you when it comes to the idea that very real conditions come to us. And what we choose ends up being destiny. We're not determining it. We're just finding out what that is. You know, the Pharisees, if they had received Christ, the power was there to heal them, if they could believe. And on those who did believe, they did receive the healing. Because it's not all. I mean, look at, I know that from the among the elders, there's Joseph of Arimathea and also Nicodemus. Those who believed were healed of their blindness. You know, we look at Jesus, we see him healing people, and what they really need is healed hearts. Everyone wants to touch him. I need to touch him. I need to get a hold of him. For whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. I need to know him. I need to touch him. I need the power to go forth from him into me so that I can do his works, so that I can be like him. Jesus is about to preach a message to all these people, very similar to the Sermon on the Mount. He probably repeated many of these parables many times. It's not always in the same order because things are said at different times. The power of God goes forth out of Christ, and if they would reach forward in faith to touch him, to take hold of him, they could partake. But again, from the perspective of God, it has to be given.